Well, hi, everybody. This is Phil Pringle, and I'm your host on the C3 Church Global Podcast. And thanks for jumping on today. I always feel honored and blessed by the fact that we're able to speak to people and that there are literally hundreds and thousands of people who log on every week to get a hold of what we're saying and trying to help people with. The reason that we do these conversations are so that we can bring assistance to people in very relevant situations in the church and in leadership today. Well, I have been especially looking forward to this particular podcast because of several reasons. One, we're going to be talking about a gentleman who I respect, admire, and honor as one of the greatest men of God I've ever had the privilege of meeting. And then we're talking to his son and his grandson as well. And I'm speaking about none other than Ed Cole, who is the grandfather of Brandon Cole, who's the pastor of a church in Texas, and his father, which is Ed's son, Paul Cole, who heads up Christian Men's Ministry all around the world, doing an incredible job of pushing back against this weird thinking that's invading everywhere about male toxicity and how that there's a male problem of some sort. And I think we are needing to assist men to feel okay about themselves. And so it is awesome to have you, Paul and Brandon, with us today on our conversation. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Pastor Phil.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. I'm excited.
So I guess the big motivation that I wanted to just ask and talk with you guys about is the fact that we've had some scandals in recent days, very unfortunate, tragic moments where some brothers who just lost their way at some point and have brought a lot of disturbing elements into the body of Christ where people are worried, anxious, angry, upset, betrayed, feeling all kinds of things. And it bothers me that these guys grab the headlines of the Christian press and of the secular press, whereas a guy like Louis Palau, who recently passed away, one of the greatest men of God in the world for a number of decades, faithfully serving God, barely gets a mention. And so it could seem like that there's just all these scandals going on, but actually I would have no hesitation saying that for every one guy that you are aware of who has taken a tumble, there are another thousand who are good guys who are committed to finishing the race as disciples of Jesus Christ, regardless of whatever anybody else does. They've made a ruthless commitment to finish the race. Now, the reason I asked Paul and Brandon to join me today is because their father, grandfather, Ed Cole, was a friend of mine, and I attempted to associate myself with people who were finishing strong. So I reached out to Ed Cole in the early days, had him come speak at our church, and made sure I befriended myself to the man. I wanted to get whatever he had. And also Andrew Evans, head of the Assembly of God Church in Australia, long-term. And these were far older men. They weren't my contemporaries. They were older men. Mm. I wanted to hang out with these guys and figure out how to actually finish strong. Another gentleman I've been privileged to get to know over many years is Dr. Yong-Yi Cho in Seoul, Korea, who's also finishing strong after leading a church of nearly a million people for a very long time and having revival in that nation for a very long time. And yet, he has weathered a lot of attacks and battles against him, but he's still finishing strong. And there are a number of these people in the world today. And I just think the legacy that Ed Cole has left in the earth, which is still having an impact on his grandchildren and I'm sure his great-grandchildren, is phenomenal. So I wanted to ask Paul, who is Ed Cole's son, what he saw in his dad that he thought were the keys to helping him keep walking.
You know, I think, you know, one of the things, and let me go back to what you just said, Pastor Phil, about having these men speak into your life. That didn't just happen because you happened to walk through the same cafe. It happened because you on purpose went after that relationship.
Right.
I know with my father, you and I met right after you had just written You the Leader. And we began to talk and spend time together. And you had, you made an on purpose move. I wanted to get next to him. I want to pull from him. And then you didn't just do that. You made it a priority in your life to sit with men like Andrew Evans and Ed Cole and pull from them. I don't think it's when the student's ready to teach or appears. I think it's when the student goes after it, the teacher teaches. I think you got to pull on it. I think you just got to go after it.
So and, true.
I mean, we get this kind of Holy Spirit gooey thing going, well, you know, this all is going to happen and be around this guy. And then he speaks a word over me. And dude, you got to pull on this stuff, you know?
Yeah, I would fly down to Adelaide just to buy lunch for Andrew Evans. I'd say, can we have lunch? He said, are you in town? I said, no, I'm going to fly down and do that. And flying up to Seoul, Korea every year to sit through a lot of meetings and for just one conversation sometimes with Dr. Cho, just a 10-minute conversation, it's worth it. And I think whatever these guys have got, I want to drink of it, you know?
Yeah, they've got that. What they've got is, I believe, what men like that have, and we see it in younger men also, but it's the grit to just keep showing up.
Yep.
And it's the determination. I've set my course and I'm going to finish this thing and I'm going to finish strong. You know, when we talk about longevity in ministry, Brandon and I were talking earlier about it, Pastor Phil, and it was, what's longevity mean, right? How do you define it? Right? Because John the Baptist, he dies when he's 30, but the Bible says he completed his purpose.
There you go.
So to me, it's more like, okay, finishing your race means fulfill why you're here, your purpose. And hey, you wrote, okay, this is crazy. I actually have some of your books here. I actually read them. Fascinating. But you wrote one, a letter to young
men.
And you wrote something. You wrote something on here about Paul the Apostle, how he finished. So on page 220 of Letters to Young Leaders, it says, here's how Paul finished strong. He says, we are persuaded by our relationship with God, the promises of the word, and the decision to believe. And I think men like Andrew Evans and the men you've talked about, and I did the same thing, Pastor Phil, flew to San Francisco, drove to Santa Rosa, California, sat in the dojo of a man that is a mentor to me. And we sat there for 4 hours. I flew across the country, did that. And I learned some things in that 4 hours that I still use today. That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I make myself available for that. You just go after it. But those are the things I think that those men have. And when you talk about, you ask a question about my dad, you know, ministry has a lot of ups and downs and it's really personal.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that when I was in the business world. It's like really personal. And what I saw in him was the tenacity to get up every morning and do his daily ritual.
Right.
You know?
Which was?
What you do, what you thought. Yeah. In the word, prayer, cup of coffee. And he walked the beach, you know, when he was living on the West Coast. And then tried to walk by a lake when he was living here in Texas. That didn't work so well.
Yeah, it's not really fair, this whole walking on the beach thing.
Yeah.
Brandon, what do you remember about your grandfather?
Well, I would be more spiritual if I had the beach to walk on, but I...
of course.
I remember a couple of things, and which obviously I see some things in my dad as well. But I still remember vividly walking into my granddad's house. When you walk in, you could look to the right and you would see his bedroom. And And I remember walking in one day and seeing my grandfather just laid out on the floor. And he wasn't a skinny, slim guy. You know, he was, right. This was not like a comfortable position for him to be in. He wasn't sleeping. He was laid out on the floor praying. And so I think the rhythm of life, I think the rituals, I think that's the one things I learned early on from guys like you and my dad is, you know, even the idea of Sabbath, which we make almost like this religious, super spiritual thing. And really it's God going, would you just take a break and like, give yourself something that refreshes you? And so that's been something we learned early on, but watching him with that. And then I also remember there just felt like there was always somebody in the house, but just whether it was family, whether it was friends, there was just always somebody in the house. I remember guys flying. I remember when Chuck Norris showed up at the house just out of nowhere. I remember guys who would fly 14 hours to be there for 2 hours for lunch and then fly back home. I just remember always having people around. And I would say, and I'm only 20 years in, so I feel like I'm amongst legends on this call. I don't know how I ended up here, but I do know that this year, through everything that's gone on with the pandemic, the thing that has struck me the most about our time in ministry with Meredith and I is the friends that we still have.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the most proud moment of all of it is that I've done this and we still, the friends that were here are still here. And that's not to say we haven't had changes in relationship at times. But I just always remember people being in the house. And I think people being around and having access and not just going and hitting a restaurant, but actually in my home at my table. There's something about that. It's much harder to hide things when they're always in the places where you tend to hide them. So I think that those two things, he did have a rhythm, a strength about him. And then people, relationship. It was something I've always admired about you, Pastor Phil, and something I admired about my parents is the relationships they've carried through every season and friends that I've known of theirs since I was small. And I never get tired of people saying, I remember when you were just, you know, I don't get tired of that because there's something about that that's really, really special. I know that not everybody can have that. I get that. But for me, it's, and I hope my kids have the same, you know, they call my friends uncle and aunt, you know, they are family to them. So.
Yeah. I think that's a really, a big deal. If you're going to be a rock star preacher, you don't have a lot of friends. Because you're too famous, you know, to let people come close, and you only do restaurant meals, and you're not really gonna come down from that lofty height to hang out with the commoners. And I really think that the table has been stolen from us, and it really is a bedrock foundational principle that is so underestimated in its value. For families, for friends, but around the table, I think the friends of the parents become part of the longevity process. Some people say, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I'm not sure what all the philosophy behind that is, but I think it takes a community for us all to behave well, for us all to actually do life well. And you can't do it in isolation. And so, you know, the whole COVID isolation thing is not good for us on many levels. And to come back and be in person in church is so important for everybody. And I think there's a hidden kind of accountability in meeting together. You modify your behavior. And if you've got responsibility in the community, sometimes there's going to be days when that's the only thing that's going to keep you committed, because you had to go and do something.
right.
Yeah. This pandemic, it's exactly what's happened. You know, here in the U.S., Las Vegas had to open up their high schools early because the suicide rates for teens skyrocketed.
Yeah.
There was a report that just came out today. Bishop Bronner just sent me a text this morning, the report on the lowering of the testosterone level of men in the pandemic. It's like, you don't even think about some of these hidden things, and it's crazy. But back on,
how does that happen? What is that?
I don't know, dude. You know, I'm sure there's some smart people who got it figured out, but I frankly think it's community. I think it's testosterone level of men is, brother, iron sharpens iron.
It's under attack. Oh, God.
Dude, I mean, hey. Really. I mean, think about it. Jesus had a best friend. I don't think it was John. John said, I'm the guy he loves. Yeah. Like Moses said, I'm the most humble man in the nation. But I think his best friend was Lazarus. And I think they hung out.
Yeah.
And they did. I think they hung out on a, and I think that's why he didn't make him a disciple.
Huh.
Because he needed somebody to just decompress with. Just like, dude, you should have seen it the other day, Peter. And he tells him, like, I walked on water just to mess with him.
Yeah. How many conversations of Jesus and Lazarus are recorded in the Gospels? I think the community thing matters. I think that there's a reason that Joseph and Mary didn't notice Jesus was missing until a day's journey in, because they assumed that the community was part of it. They thought people were taken care of, you know, and I think that matters. I also think there's a difference between fathers and friends. And there are things that I told my dad, and in a different way and in a different setting and in a different time than I would tell my friends, and for different purposes. But if you have the right kinds of friends, I always tell people, and it only makes sense in our context, maybe, I don't know, but if you watched enough TV, you've seen the Snickers commercial. You need friends who will give you a Snickers when you're not being the person you're meant to be. And so I think there's people who are fathers and mothers in my life, people who are speaking into my life. But I also think there's friends who, like you're saying, you can say whatever you need to say to them. It is a space and a place where you can speak freely.
Yeah.
And you do that around the table, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm not very good at being a clean eater. I'm not always great at being proper and picking up the right fork. There's something about being at the table where you really see a person, not just because of what they say, but because of how they sit at the table. Yeah. How they eat. Are they, you know, are they using their hands, or did they use the outside fork first? Which one, you know? So I think there's something about that, yeah, for sure matters immensely.
So let me talk about just something, pick up on something that you said then, Brandon, having friends will talk to you about stuff you need to hear.
Yeah.
People who are listening right now, could I just put this out there? Like, who have you got in your world right now who can talk to you about anything and you would receive it even if you disagree with them?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody like that? And so I ask, if people say, you're my leader, or you're my pastor, or you're my mentor, I say, we'll find out when I got to talk to you about something you don't agree with me talking to you about.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because just saying that doesn't mean anything. It's easy to hear me say, oh, you're incredible. You're great. You preached such a good message. That was amazing. But when I talk to you about some other deal in your life, and I've got people like that. I report to people. And a couple of years ago, they said to me, you've got to take 3 months off, because I went through a bit of an attack and I did not cope with it well. I've been through a lot of different attacks, public attacks, criticism and stuff, but this one shook me around and knocked me around a bit. And my guys, they said, you can't come to work. You're taking 3 months off. I do not like taking, I don't know. I don't even like, you know, just relaxing. So it's got to be a discipline for me to actually stop myself. But to stop for 3 months, that was like very, very challenging. But being the submissive person I am, I said, all right, I'll do it. And you know, here's the weird thing. COVID hit a little bit after that. But I think, looking back, I needed more than 3 months. I think I needed a year. Wow. Because it's only once I started getting my brain back and getting emotionally steady again, I realized how tired and exhausted I'd been. Mm. And these guys speaking into my life firmly, I think probably saved my life. And there's some other guys in my life who are friends, and I'm not talking about mentors now. I'm talking about these are friends. There'd be a couple times in my life I'd say, well, they saved me.
Yeah.
If I was ever suicidal, or if I was ever so depressed. I just wanted to give up and walk away. They were there.
You've got to have that. And then you've also got to have some friends you can call at midnight.
Yeah.
You got to have both sides, you know, the guys that will talk to you and then people you can reach out to. And, you know, there's absolutely zero condition. There's no like, oh, you didn't measure up or any of that kind of crap. It's just straight up, hey, we're friends. Mm-hmm. You know, the finish on the Lazarus thing and the table, and Brandon's got a great picture on the table, is I also think Jesus hung out with Lazarus because he had a sister who could cook.
Yeah, exactly. And kept house. It was a clean place. Yeah,
and a sister that was dangerous.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So I wanted to talk about another thing. Carrying on your father's legacy of the Christian men's ministry, which was initiated by him, Paul. As I understand it, it was a mixed cup when you took it on. It had its difficulties and challenges, but you've done extremely well in actually pushing that forward all around the world. Tell me about the transition from fathers to sons.
Yeah, I think by and large, my observation is that from my dad's generation to this generation, the transitions have been absolutely abysmal. Mm. And I would say that it goes back to this puritanical background for a lot of us. Mm. You know, the Adelaide settlers, the people who came to Jamestown here, that kind of thing. Hard work, nose of the grindstone, pick your own stuff up. You know, to me, the role of a father is not to raise a great son, it's to raise another great father. Paul said you have Paul said you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. And what he was saying, Pastor Phil, is you've got a lot of people who tell you stuff. They'll give you what they know, but very few who will give you their heart. And when you were talking about discipline a moment ago, the first thing I talked we'll see if I'm your mentor when I discipline you. The Bible says, Proverbs says over and over, the wise man listens to that. Mm. The wise man. And then it teaches us that discipline is always the result of love. And so when we talk about transition, my dad didn't do it necessarily well. We had a lot of stuff that happened. You know, I climbed up in a hospital bed with him 2 weeks before he left to be with the Lord. And he laid his hands on me and blessed me. But he didn't tell anybody else he had done that. It's like, yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah, you should, you know, it's like. And so there's those little things like that. I believe that because of that, what's happening, like, for instance, with you and me and Brandon and others, where I sat in the front row and rather than go like, hey, you know, the offering message was 2 minutes too long or this and this and that, I just sat there and took notes.
Right.
And it made a difference. And I'm seeing that more and more where men are transitioning well, but I think it's been not done well by and large.
So then you took on a church right there in Dallas and led that church, but then you pass it on to Brandon. So there's another transition that's taken place. How have you found that, Brandon?
Yeah, I think different than maybe it was just described for grandpa to dad. And again, these aren't criticisms. In some ways, we all are a bit of a product of the age we're in. But I think there has been a much different way of doing it. When I remember sitting at the table, my dad had not talked to me about taking on the church. I was a youth pastor and was doing design and graphics and all those things at other places. And he sat at we were with the elders. And so he said, hey, I think I don't remember what the time limit, but I think in the next 6 months or something, he goes, I think Brandon should take over. And I looked at my dad and just thought, are you going to you should have run this by me first and let them, you know, and they all shook their head and said, yeah, let's do that. And, he did exactly what he's talking.
I'll give you the exact phrase.
Okay.
It was this. I said, I turned and I looked at these older men, guys older than Brandon. I looked around at them and I pointed at Brandon and I said, how foolish would we be as men if we didn't help that young man become one of the greatest pastors in America?
How about that?
Yes.
And they all went, yeah, we'd be idiots. I go, okay, so let's do it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was wild. So I think, yeah, I sat in the front row, both my mom and dad, even with while traveling, but that's always been the MO of my dad. My dad's never very rarely missed a basketball game or baseball game. So I think it's, that is part of what has to happen for longevity though, is the seasonal aspect of your ministry, and understand that when you leave winter, you better make sure you've bought some t-shirts and shorts because the summer's coming. Yeah. And the other way around as well. You know, there'll be seasons where you need to run a tank top and shorts because you're going to be grinding. You're going to have to really work hard. There's other seasons where you need to throw on a hoodie and realize it might be time to just sit down and let some others lead. But be there for it. You know, there's all kinds of seasonal aspects of this. And that was the history of the church, right? The festivals, they were all these seasons to be reminded of God's goodness in all of it, that to always be able to remember. And I think that has been my number one thing, is to have a better memory, to remember who God is and what he's done. The moment I forget what he's done, I forget what he can do. And
there's a psalm that talks about Ephraim, who was fully armed, had all his weapons, but turned back in the day of the battle because he, even though he was fully equipped, he didn't have a heart. Right. And the reason he didn't, is it's a psalm of Asaph, and he says because the fathers forgot to remind their children of the power of God.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is exactly right. We've got to have a better memory, not just of theology and of the ideas and theories and philosophies about God, but of the power of God, that if you go into battle, he'll be with you. Speaking of which, look, we've got about another 5 minutes to go. So just bear with me while I make sure we don't fall off the end of the planet. But the battles that people face, this is why we have seen guys fall over, because they've been fighting a battle and in the end they've lost. Now, my deal is that praying men don't sin and sinning men don't pray. And I think all of the answers basically are found in the taproot of prayer. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got prayer going on in your life, Jesus says, you're not going to resist temptation. You won't be getting enough power to push back against temptation. And so I think the daily ritual, the daily discipline of morning prayer, I think evening prayer is good, but I think that's an add-on to morning prayer, because that sets you up for the day. And if you can get to the day before the day gets to you, you're going to find yourself on top of every situation that you're facing. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the battles that you've faced, Brandon, so far in pastoring a church, what have you found to be, and we've got to be a bit quick, I'm sorry, we've got about 3-4 minutes to go.
Interesting question.
What have you found the way of beating these attacks or battles have been for you?
Well, I think, and I will be quick because I'm a pastor and I'm really good at that. I will say that I think one of the primary understandings is realizing battles will be there. I think to think that somehow the hills and the valleys of this are you're going to escape those is one of the first steps towards being ruined by them. And so I think that's number one. And I think when you have that in mind, prayer becomes essential. Doesn't mean we always do it well. But it's such a, my grandfather used to say prayerlessness is a form of hiding. My dad always says prayer strips away the inconsequential. And so I think there's, you know, I've gotten this thing put in my heart.
Great sentence.
Yeah. And so the prayer for me, prayer with my wife, prayer with the people around me. I think when I lack prayer is when I'm trying to do it in my own strength and I find myself striving. So I think the battle is the Lord's. And I think the statement of be still and know that I am God is a statement in a time of war. It is a statement in a time of battle and strife and difficulty.
Oh, good.
And so there has to be a willingness. If you're not still and you don't pray, there's a chance you don't trust God. Yeah. Wow. There's just a chance that just you're chance. Not actually allowing him to be who he is.
Well, it's, been such a pleasure to be able to have, and a privilege to have the Cole legacy. We should do the, we've heard of the Bourne legacy. We need the Cole legacy needs to be a movie because your story is so unique, Paul and Brandon. And thank you so much for sharing today. Any last 1 minute thought, Paul?
Yeah, I'm going to give you one. C3FortWorth.com.
There you go.
C3FortWorth.com. Hey, that guy, that young man right there, that Pastor Brandon is a has got some of the most amazing messages that are on their podcast and all that. So come I would on. Just say, the guy is the guy. I just sit there and take notes, and then I go and share them the next week somewhere else. And people go, "Where'd that come from?" I go, "I don't know." Just
brilliant,
dropped in my heart.
Well, we love you and Judy and all you guys there in Texas and your church, and are so happy to be in fellowship with you and journeying together. It's been a privilege, and I'm looking forward to many, many years more. Thank you for talking with us today, and everybody, thanks for joining. Thanks for being on this podcast this week. Tag a friend, hit that subscribe button so that we'll turn up in your inbox every Wednesday each week. And if you've got any comments, please send them in. Questions, we'll try to answer them. Rate us so that we know how we're doing. Tell us how we can be better. And we're always wanting to improve. We love you and we're praying for you. We believe in God for your life to be blessed. And we're praying that you finish the race like we've been talking about today. We're praying that you'll have longevity and strength to keep you running when you don't want to run, to keep walking and taking steps when you feel like giving up. You're not going to do that. You're going to make it through. We believe in you, so does God. God bless you. Look forward to talking with you next week. God bless.